Praise the Lord. Amen. This time we're going to have Brother Jacob come tonight. Amen. Lord bless you, brother.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a good hand tonight, can we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Amen. And He's good all the time. So thankful for His faithfulness. So glad tonight to be here a part of Truth Camp 2018. My goodness, I agree with Pastor Tom. The years fly by quickly. And we're just so thankful to be a part of what God is doing, amen, this year. And I know, as it's already been mentioned, there's been some, if you will, curveballs that have been thrown. And I do identify with Brother Torbert to say this, that even though we might be surprised sometimes, God is never, ever caught by surprise. You believe that? Amen. There might sometimes, we might be a little distracted or confused or whatever the case might be, but God is never. And so we're just thankful, amen, for the opportunity to be here at camp tonight, and we just appreciate the opportunity to share the word of the Lord with you. Amen. I can assure you tonight we're going to do our very best just to deliver what the Lord has laid upon our hearts, and we just trust in the Lord to do a good work within our hearts and in our lives. Amen. But so much of this is going to depend upon you, young person. You know that tonight? You're the one this week. You're the one as to who has to make a decision, amen, as to what you're going to allow God to do in your heart and in your life. And I believe that He is more than able, amen, if we are willing to let Him have His way. If you'd stand with me tonight, we're going to get right into the Word of the Lord. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 1. Is where we'd like to take our text this evening, Jeremiah chapter number 1. And we're going to start reading in verse number 4. These are very familiar places here, verses of Scripture. And we're just going to believe the Lord to speak to us tonight. Amen. In this house. Looking forward as what God is going to do in the course of this week. Youth camp's always an exciting time. Amen, as everybody comes in with that one mind and one accord, allowing God to do great and mighty things in our hearts and in our lives. Jeremiah 1, starting at verse number 4. If you're there with me, why don't you say amen? The Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Amen. If we can tonight, for just a few moments of time, I know it's been a busy day for everybody. You've made the trip, you've come from your services this morning, but here we are. And I'm going to ask you tonight, just for a few moments, if we can just place our undivided attention not on Jacob Smith, but upon the Lord tonight, amen? And just agree that we're going to let Him speak to our hearts. And tonight, if the Lord will help us, I just want to preach for a few moments on the thought, you are the one, amen? You are the one. As Brother Tom said, look at your neighbor one more time and tell him, say, you're the one. You're the one tonight. You're the one this week. You're the one that there are lives that are depending on. You're the one, amen, as to holds the key, as to what God will do in our hearts and in the lives of each and every one represented. Can we pray one more time? Father, we thank you once again for the privilege we have to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for Truth Camp, and thank you for all that you've done. Lord, bringing us together for this appointed time. Divine appointments. Oh, we're thankful, Lord, tonight for every heart and life that's represented here. Lord, we ask and pray that you would move and minister as only you can. I thank you for your word, Lord, that it is on assignment tonight, that it will accomplish what it's been sent to do. And Lord, I pray you would anoint our hearts and ears that we would respond and hear what you have to say. Lord, anoint my mind and lips to preach, Lord, your word as would give you glory tonight. We thank you in advance for what you'll do in these altars tonight. We give you praise. Help us, Lord, to leave here different than the way that we've come. And we thank you for it. One more time, let's lift our hands to heaven. Say, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you tonight for what you do in our hearts and in our lives. Oh, we glorify you, Jesus. We give you praise and glory. You can be seated this evening. You are the one. Amen. You are the one. As we take a look at this tonight, I believe within my heart, here as in the last couple of days, as the Lord has challenged me in regards to this message, in regards to those of us that are here this evening, I am often reminded every time that I am amongst young people of the of how precious and how sacred it is, every life that is represented, the potential and the eternal value, amen, that is upon each and every one of us. We are living in a time and a society today as to where there is, if you will, an all-out attack. As it's been mentioned already tonight, there truly is an Antichrist spirit that is permeating the world in which we live. And I can assure you tonight, young person, that the adversary is after young people just like you. Young people that are setting up in Pentecostal churches where the truth is being preached, where there is the full counsel of God's word that is being delivered. Just because we go to so-and-so's church or have been sitting in the church all of our lives does not mean for one moment that we are exempt. It does not mean for one moment that the devil is not playing for keeps for your life, for your soul, and for that potential that God has placed inside of you. In case you have forgotten, I would like to remind you tonight that above everything else, that hell hates you, amen, that the adversary cannot stand who you are, cannot stand who you belong to, cannot stand who you represent. I'm here to declare tonight, I believe with all of my heart, that in this last day that I believe we are living, we need some young people one more time who recognize and realize the value that God has placed upon your life, that God has commissioned and called and said there is divine purpose and there is a power in which I desire to use those that'll consecrate themselves to me. Come on here. There is a dilemma amongst us, and tonight, if we can, I'd like to look in Scripture at three young people, and I want to look at a few things tonight about these young people that we're going to make mention in Scripture. Before we talk about the facts of the ways that God has used them, I want to remind you tonight that first of all, that you have been made. You have been created. You have been handcrafted, tailor-made, customized, amen, by God himself. Verse number 5 said, before I formed thee, I knew thee. I want to remind you tonight that in the day in which we live, one of the prevailing thoughts and one of the most popular lies of the enemy is that you are insignificant, that God has no concern about you. As to where you are, the mindset of the humanist tonight is that there is no power that is interested in you, that you are here by yourself, that you are here alone. I want to remind you tonight that God, the Almighty, come on here, the Almighty, the one showing himself mighty in all things, the one who is all powerful, the one who is all knowing, the one who is in all places at all times. I want to remind you tonight that he has called you by name, that he has positioned you, he has formed you and created you. There is a modern mindset of so-called experts that, as I said, they are completely antichrist. They are doing all they can to minimize your existence. It is a prevailing thought process in the world today. It is being adopted by higher academia. It is being promoted in colleges across the land. It is even being taught in our school systems, amen, as to where there is an all-out attack upon the fact of the sacredness of life, upon the preciousness, amen, of you being a created being. I will tell you tonight that hell will do all that it can to send its abortionist in to destroy you and to kill you and to root you out. Come on here. The abortionist of hell itself, I will tell you tonight that in this confusing madness that is around us, we see as to where now, even amongst the popular acronym, I know we've got young ones, little ones in here tonight, but the popular acronym of LGBT, and they've added a Q on the end of it. Questionable. People asking questions. Where do I come from? What am I even? What am I going to do? You see, the enemy would love for you to meander in this life without purpose, without plan, without divine direction. He would like for you to have the idea, we've got a whole generation going around saying, what in the world am I? What in the world do I like? What in the world's happening? Oh, but God help us tonight. I'm glad that he did create specifically you and me. There ain't no question, male and female, boy and girl. I'm glad tonight for the child of God. We know who the Redeemer is. We know who the Creator is. Come on here. Questions. People with questions. Can I just slow down and preach for a little bit? Questions. Listen to me. July 19th, just here a few weeks ago, NBC Nightly News, they had the newscast broke with this thought that even now progressive parents are now calling their babies thabies. Hear me. Thabies. Because they do not want them to be defined and to have the constraints of what they call gender identification upon them. And so what they will do is amongst their own family, Brother Torbert, they are the only ones that know the gender of that child. They are the only ones. They want them to grow up. They said, what we will do is we will allow little Johnny and we will allow little Susie to determine what they want to be, to determine what they want to become, to determine, listen, I'm telling you, it's permeating a generation in Houston. Over in Spring, Texas, there was news breaking out. Bear with me, I'm going somewhere with this. There was news breaking out. out. Four-year-old boy, they was having a fit, mom and daddy was, because they would not let him go into the girls' restroom, would not let him wear dresses in the classroom, would not let him pertain to the things of the young girls. Mama had a press conference. Everybody was in an uproar. They ought to let that baby decide what he or she is going to be. He identifies as a little girl. He identifies as this. We hear this junk pushed and shoved down our throats all the time. I'm not going to stay on this soapbox very long, but I want to tell you, young people, why do we see this permeating around us so much? It's because hell knows that if we can get the church, if we can get a generation confused, if we can get a generation not knowing where they fit in and where they belong, then the mandate of heaven can't be fulfilled. But may God raise us up a group of young people that'll say, I know who has created me. I want to let you know tonight, you've been made with purpose. You, sir, and you, ma'am, you are an appointment, not an accident. You're an appointment. Come on here. Somebody tonight needs to hear that. I was introduced to a family not too long ago, and they were talking about their kids. They said, this is our oldest, and this is our middle, and this is this one. And then they got to the youngest. They said, this is our accident. Now, they were joking and cutting up because they were older in life and wasn't necessarily expecting to have another one. But I know they was cutting up, but all of a sudden, boy, that grieved my heart. They said right there out loud in front of that baby, said, this is our accident. And I'm going to tell you something. There are some that the enemy would love for you to believe that you're just an accident. There are some that are sitting here under the sound of my voice, and you haven't had a cookie cutter life. You haven't had everything all put together. You haven't had everything where it made rhyme and reason. Some that are from broken homes, and some that you would say, Brother Jacob, if you saw back at the house, it's a mess. If you knew where I came from, it's a wreck. If you knew what was going on, you'd scratch your head and say, oh my, ain't none of that makes sense. I feel like I have no place. I feel like maybe there's no purpose. And what the enemy left for you to do, listen, I was that young man. Mama had me at 16 years old. I was a young man. I was privileged to go to a Christian school by the age I was 9. But I still remember Mama pulling up to the doors of the Christian school. I was embarrassed, Brother Torbert, to open the door, because Mama had KC95 pumping on the radio station. It was a rock and roll music. It was pumping and blasting. And there I was. All I knew was all these other kids at church. Kids, their mamas and daddies go to church, and my mama pulls up in her red Chevy Z76, whatever it was. It was a fine looking car. She'd open that door, cigarette smoke billowing out, rock and roll music playing. I mean, some of them kids, they'd look at me, they'd shake their head. They didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to think. Mom and dad drugging and drinking. By 9, I could tell you about pop. I could tell you about crank. I could tell you about this and that. I was unqualified. I was one who never thought there would be much that God could do anything with. I was sometimes the one on the outskirts. My family crazy. I looked at my friends that was in church. I thought they had it all together. I thought their families were perfect. But there came a point in time in my life, about 11 years old, I got a realization. God gave me a revelation. There was no accident. There was no oops. There was no I'm sorry. But there was divine appointment. I was tailor made for that time and that purpose in heaven's eternal timeline. Some of you here tonight, sitting there and you say, I feel like I am the least. I'm the least one to come in. I still remember Brother Stephen We'd go play ball. I'd come in from break time. And all those cigarettes and stuff, boy, they just permeate off of my clothes. I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. And I was feeling, Brother Tom, I said, oh my, I just don't know about this. But I tell you one thing that it began to do. It began to challenge me to, if I was going to serve God, I was going to pray like I never prayed before. I was going to pray for my family. I was going to stand. I was going to do what was necessary. God began to do a work. I want to let somebody know tonight, as I said, as you are hand-tailored, handcrafted to fit into eternity's timeline by the architect of heaven itself. I want to let you know, just like Jeremiah, before you ever came along, God knew who you were. Listen, David had said in Psalm 139:13, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Oh, and in thy book of all thy my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them." I want to remind you tonight, young person, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the one created for this time, for this purpose. Amen. You're not shouting much, but I'm still preaching. Amen. Oh, listen. There's some things that I want you to realize tonight. You are the one that was made. I also want to tell you, you're the one with the message. You're the one with the message. The Bible tells us, as a matter of fact, here in our text in verse number 6, "Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." We find that Jeremiah felt that he was unqualified because of his age. God had given him a message. He tells Jeremiah, he said, "You've been made, and I have given you a message." I want to tell you tonight, young person, not only does the enemy want you confused, but he also wants you to be silent. He wants you to remain silent. Come on here. He understands tonight that the power of God resides in you, and there is something of great value that you have to share with those that are around you in a lost and a dying world. The Bible declares to us the story of Naaman. It's a great story, a great miracle that takes place in Naaman's life as he was bound and plagued with leprosy. He was a mighty man of valor. The scripture says, but he was a leper. He had a disease. He had a sickness. The word of God tells us, this first young person I want to let you know of, the Bible tells us in the book here, the word of God says in 2 Kings here, it says in verse number 1, it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host, the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid." Listen here. "And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel." this little girl, we don't know her name, but we do know she was brought into Naaman's house, a captive of Israel. And I want you to understand this young lady. Here she was watching and she was ministering to Naaman's wife. She saw firsthand the pain of that leprosy. She would watch as Naaman had to stay at the gates of his own house, couldn't even go in. They'd have to stand, Brother T, and talk like this. How was your day today? How was it going? Naaman watching his babies through the gate, couldn't even hold them, couldn't even hug them, couldn't love on them, couldn't tell them good night, couldn't kiss his bride good night. None of that stuff. There was separation, there was disease, there was a plague, there was a problem. But we see a young girl, come on here, a young person. She was the one. She was one who was bold enough. She was willing to take the risk and say, maybe she wrestled it over in her mind. Maybe she didn't know exactly what all was going to transpire for speaking out. But while she was there, amen, in her captivity, while she was there, not in an ideal place, she said, I know of somebody who can help Naaman. I know of somebody, amen, who can make a difference. She said, I would that the Lord, speaking of Naaman, small L, I wish that he would go see the man of God that is over there, for I know he could deliver him. She delivered a life-changing message, Brother Wilson. She was the one in that household who would open her mouth and say, I know somebody who can make a difference. Young person, not only are you made, but I want to tell you that there is a message inside of you, and you are the one who needs to declare the word of the Lord. You are the one that needs to open your mouth and tell somebody there's some help. Tell somebody there's some help. We are in a time where the plague of sin is permeated everywhere. We are in a time where there are people, other young people you go to school with, young people that are sitting in your youth groups, neighbors. The list can go on and on of people who are broken and bruised. And if we're not careful, we sit by timidly. We sit by saying, well, I don't know. I don't want to offend this one. Don't want to offend that one. Don't want to mess this up or don't want to say too much here. But I pray tonight that God would challenge the hearts, amen, of us that are here this week in this camp, and that will say and declare, I am the one not only who's been created and made, but God has given me a message. There is something he's put inside of me. Well, Brother Jake, I'm not called to preach. Brother Jake, I'm not called to teach a Sunday school class. I'm not saying that you have to be. Some of you'd say, if you look at my life, it's been a mess. It's been a wreck. There's been some things I'm ashamed of. There's been some things God's brought me out of it. But my, I just don't know if it could be a help. I want to tell you the best messages that are ever preached are the messages where we can testify how God brought us out of a mess, how God delivered us, how God set us free, how God saved us. Oh, come on, young people. I want to let you know you've got something valuable to say. You got something valuable to say. Come on here. Maid and a message. This little maid, this little girl. And here she was. She was serving. She was supposed to do her work, be quiet, don't cause a ruckus. But here she was, and she looks for the opportunity. She says, I know the Lord of the house is her. I know there's some serious things going on, but I know somebody. I know of one who can touch. I know of one. Come on here. Young people, I want to tell you, there's some things going on burning inside of your heart. inside of your mind, and God has put a purpose inside of you, given you a message, given you a testimony. There are people, I'm going to tell you something, say, well, I don't know, I never preach at a place or do this or do that, but I'll let you know, there are some of you right here, I remember the first message that I ever had to preach was right there in my house to a mom and daddy that was lost. Come on here. They didn't mind me going to church. They let me go to church because while I was going to church, Brother Trevor, they're doing their drugs. I'd go to youth camp. I had people in the church who would pay my way to youth camp. I'd go to youth camp for the week, and they'd be at the house going on drug binges for days. They'd go in there. My dad never raised in church, but he could tell you, later testify after he was saved. He'd say, we'd go on those drug binges. He said, I'd look over and I'd see demons in the house. I'd tell your mama, hide the guns. I didn't know what I was going to do. Said, I was out of my mind. Things were going on. I remember I'd be picked up from church, and I'd sit there with tears running down my face in the truck, and mama would say, what's going on? I'd say, tonight I was almost filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember mama clamming up. I remember mama turning white. I remember now and again a tear would run down her face. Mom would later tell me, she would go into the bedroom. She'd open the door about 1-2 o'clock in the morning, Brother T, just to see if I was still in the bed. What was I doing? I was trying to preach some message of what God was doing in my life. I'll never forget at 14 years old when my mama made her way down to an old-fashioned altar. She cried out every drug, cried out every drink, set free by the power of God, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you can reach your household. I'm telling you, there's a message inside of you. Come on here. There's times I was nervous. There's times I still remember a conversation I had with my dad. I was just crying. I said, Dad, I said, God wants to save you. I still remember him looking at me, kind of snickered. He said, well, what you don't understand? He said, I kind of live in a gray area. He said, me and God's got an arrangement. We got an agreement, which I knew it wasn't right. There was times, 12 years old, I'd come from youth camps, and boy, God was starting to deal with me about things in my life. I wasn't being a jerk about it. I wasn't being boastful. But I remember I'd tell mom and dad, I'm just not going to partake in this anymore. I ain't going to do that anymore. And I remember sometimes they'd have questions. There was a couple times I made them mad over a couple things. They didn't understand what was going on. But what was happening was, as I was declaring a message, I was letting them know that there was one who could turn their life around. I still remember coming in from school. The blinds would be closed. The lights would be out. Mom would be sitting on the couch, tears running down her face. Later she would testify and say, I was on the verge. I was on the verge of committing suicide. She said, but you'd come in. You'd say, what's going on? Can I pray for you, Mama? I'm not saying all this to shine my halo, but I'm just telling you, I've been where some of you are at. I've been where some of you are treading in areas right now. And I'm here to tell you, if he can take a backwood country boy from the Ozarks and help to declare a living message to his family. Can I tell you tonight, after Mom and Dad got saved, we had 23 family members that came to the Lord Jesus Christ in our family. We had a revival in our family because I was willing to share the message. You're made. You got a message. This little lady, don't know her name, might have been the only message she preached, but it changed a family forever. Come on here. Changed a family forever. Listen, we have also, and I'm going quickly as I can, we have also a young person. Not only are you made, not only is there a message, but there is a miracle. John chapter 6, we know the story. Jesus lifted up his eyes, saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Listen, when Jesus starts asking a question, it ain't because he needs you to answer. Come on here. Philip answered him and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, verse number 9, there is a lad here. There's a young person. Listen, which hath 5 barley loaves. You know the story. And 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And I'm going to stop with the first point of verse 11. It says, and Jesus took the loaves. You're made. You got a message. And can I tell you that inside of you and what you have, there is a miracle that is waiting to be put to work. There is something that God wants to get His hands on that is going to change the lives of people. Listen, all this young man, again, another one without a name, they just said, here's a lad. Here's somebody. Look what he's got. He brought his lunch kit with him. Amen. To watch Jesus preach or listen to him preach and watch the miracles. Here he is with his lunch kit. Here he came. He was there going to eat some lunch. They said, we don't find anything else, but we found a boy here. And if I can just elaborate a little bit, if I can use my imagination, I can imagine he was sitting up there near where Jesus was. He was listening to the conversation, Brother Gus, and as he was there, he's listening. They said, well, I don't know where we're going to get it. We ain't got enough money to get it. How are we going to see it come to pass? And I see him looking around, and maybe for a little bit, he said, I don't know if this will make any difference. I don't know if this will do anything for anybody. I don't know what can happen with this, but maybe, just maybe, if I can take what I have and it can get into the hands of the master, maybe he can do something with it. I want to let you know that tonight there are some of you and you're setting on some things. You've been waiting. You've been waiting for the right time. You've been waiting for the perfect scenario. You've been waiting for this and this to come together. Can I tell you, there's no better time than now to give it to Jesus and say, Lord, I don't know what all you can do with my life. I don't know what all you can do in this situation, but I'm going to give it to you. Can I let you know, just a little bit in the hands of God, it can go a long way. It can accomplish much. It can do the supernatural. Oh. Tonight, if we really could see, we'd be surprised of the talent and the potential that is inside of this house. Oh, I know there's some that can sing. I know there's some that can play. I know there's some that can do various things. But let me tell you something. I'm going even beyond what we just view sometimes as the gifts of what we just view. Well, I'd like to play the bass like Brother Sean. I'd like to sing like Brother Dustin. I'd like to play that organ like Brother Blake. There ain't nothing wrong with that. I'd like to sing like those girls sing, whatever the case. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And those are good talents. But there are some things that some of you are setting on, some things that God has put and birthed inside of your heart. And the devil has done a good job of convincing you that it ain't worth sharing. It ain't worth being used. That you're just a nobody. You're foolish if you're thinking that anybody could benefit from what you have. I want to remind you, just as important as that message is, it is as well important the miracle that is sitting inside of you. The miracle, amen, of what God has put inside of you. As I told you before, He's made you with specific giftings, with specific callings. Can I tell you tonight, not everybody has to have a position on the platform. Not everybody has to be the pastor. Not everybody has to be the drummer. Not everybody has to be the preacher. Not everybody has to be the Sunday school teacher. But we need some folks. We need some young people. We need some people who put their hands one more time and say, this is what I can do. This is what I can offer. This is what God has birthed in me. And if I lay it in His hands, I know He can make it effective for the kingdom of God. Come on here. I'm telling somebody in this house tonight, you're made, you got a message, and there is a miracle in your life. Something that God is wanting to put His hands on, if you'd just be willing to give it to Him. Some things that God wants to do, if you're willing to say, here it is, Lord. No restraints, not trying to tell God how to do it, but just say, here it is, Lord. I want you to have your way with me. I want you to have your will with what I'm willing to put into your hands. Last but not least, a message, a miracle, and there's a mandate. There's a mandate. Hear me. It's been said already tonight, we're in a warfare. It's already been said as to where we find on every hand, we're under attack. I'm the administrator of a Christian school, Faith Christian Academy in Vidor, Texas. And I see as we roughly have about 45 on campus. And as I look within those young people, most of them, majority of them are church kids. We've got some that come from various backgrounds and places. And I said already tonight, devil don't care what church you go to. Don't care any of those things. I have watched, I've prayed for, I've cried with, I've talked with some of those young people. Come on here as to where they are under attack. Their life's been under attack. Their calling's been under attack. Their sense of identity's been under attack. Because I'm telling you, the devil plays for keeps. But I want to let you know that there is a mandate from heaven. There is a clarion call from heaven's portals. And I believe we cannot sit and wait. We cannot sit and watch. We cannot sit and wonder. We cannot sit and say, well, we'll let somebody else do it. I pray that God would stir the hearts of young people in this youth camp that is say, I'm willing to rise and go to the occasion to be a part of what God wants to do in His kingdom and in this hour. Can I tell you, if you want to see your pastor do some cartwheels down the aisle, see your youth pastor's head spin, you show up, amen, from this camp back home, and you say, listen, one thing I've learned in camp this year is that I am the one that God has put in me a mandate, a message, a miracle, and I want to do something for the kingdom of God. May God deliver us from a generation that only has taking on their mind. Consuming. Just devouring. But we need young people that one more time say, I realize there's a mandate. There's a call. That simply means there is an authoritative command. An authoritative command. Another definition says an assignment. There's an assignment. The last young man that I'm going to mention, music if you'll come. The last young man I'm going to mention is when we're reading about the life of Samson. The life of Samson really, I believe, is quite the parallel to the modern day church. Come on here. The church, we've seen God's hand on us. The supernatural birth. The vow, the call to be sanctified, separate, and holy. And now today the church is tiptoeing and borderline and flirting with disaster on every hand. We've gotten to the point where the church, I may not be talking about your church, but the church in general, we're finding as to where more and more we're seeing as to where how far we can live to the edge. What can we do and still claim to be Christian? What can we do and still try to make heaven? What can we do? We're seeing it all the time. We see it permeating as well into our young people, living on that edge, pushing and pushing and pushing, seeing exactly how far we can go. It's a good parallel. Samson did the same thing. And there came a point in time, Pastor T, where he came to himself. He had to fight. The enemy came upon him. And one more time, he was hoping he could shake himself and feel the anointing. But by that time, the anointing was gone. It had been removed and it was over. Oh, church, can I tell you? Young person, can I tell you? One of the mandates we have in this day and hour, let this be a generation where we make the decision. We make the declaration. The drought's going to be over. We're going to serve God. We're going to live holy. We're going to live consecrated. We're going to do what God's called us to. But in this we find Samson is now blind, his head shaved. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that they would bring him in. Everybody get good and drunk. They'd bring him in and they'd make sport of him. They'd go around and different ones come up. Some of them slap him in the face. Some of them come around and mock him. Matter of fact, they would sing, as you begin to read in the book of Judges, they begin to sing, said, our gods have delivered this one into our hands. He plagued us. He killed us. I'm paraphrasing. He did all these things, and look, here he is. We've got him. The Bible says they're making sport of him. Unbeknownst to them, Samson, he's there. He's been in the prison house. He's been mocked. He's been made fun of. He's been ridiculed. But the Bible says he begins to feel hairs of his head starting to grow back. He's blind, not the same man he once was, but he remembered where that strength used to be. Feeling that hair. They brought him in, they're having a party. The Bible says the house was full of people. Lords were there, prominent people. He said there was even 3,000 on the rooftop. They brought Samson in, they were all good and drunk. They were laughing, mocking. And the Bible says this, that Samson calls for the lad. He said, would you take me by my hand and put me over here where the pillars of the house are? Come on. Would you lead me one more time to this place where I need to be? And the Bible goes on to say that right there, Samson began to pray. He said, oh God, would you remember me one more time? Would you one more time give me strength? Would you one more time deliver your enemies into my hands? We don't know this young man's name. We don't know his position. But what we do know, Brother Sims, is that he obeyed the call and got God's man back to the place in position to one more time give God vengeance over his enemies. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in that moment he killed more in his death than he ever did in his life. Can I tell you, young people, the church age, the church world, we find ourselves in some trouble. We find ourselves hurting. We find some places where we need one more time a revival and a resurgence. We need one more time some places to recognize again, to take a feel one more time and say, hey, I feel one more time that God's wanting to do something. I get a sense that God's wanting to do something in our lives. And can I tell you tonight, I believe as it's been documented, it's a part of historical fact, that there have been many revivals that have turned the world upside down that was started with young people like yourselves. Some young people who would step up to the plate and say, I don't have to wait for mom and dad to do something. I don't have to wait for youth pastor to beg us. I don't have to wait for pastor to be a cheerleader every Sunday to get us to move. But I wish tonight there would be some young people who would say, I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. I've got a message. I've got a miracle. And there's a mandate. I wish there'd be some young people that would one more time grab a hold of the hand of the church and say, let us be a front runner. Let us be an example. Paul told a young Timothy, he said, be thou an example to the believers. Come on here. Some young people had it say, let it start in me. Let it start in me. Lord, would you have your way? Lord, one more time, can we fulfill your command? I don't have to wait for permission. Somebody told me a long time ago, said Caesar asked for forgiveness and permission. But I can assure you of this, I don't think you would offend or hurt the feelings of your church, your pastor, anybody else. You went back home and you said, my mind is made up. I am the one. In each of these scenarios, it was one young person who made a difference. It was one young person who stepped out in faith. It was one young person who said, I believe I've been created for a greater purpose. One young person said, I've got a message. One young person said, I may potentially have a miracle with me. One young person who would say, I'll follow the mandate. I'll follow the command of the man of God and get him in a position. Oh, young people of Truth Camp, can I just ask you tonight, can we start this week and make a call to heaven? Can we start this week and make a determination in our spirit to say, I'll be the one. Lord, sign me up. I realize I'm the one that you desire to use. I'm the one, God, that if you would have your way, I'm willing to give my life. I'm willing to consecrate myself and say, here I am. Can we stand all over this house? Can you raise your hands to heaven right now? And can you just begin to magnify the Lord? Come on. Come on, young people. Can we just tell him right now, Lord, we love you. Father, we glorify you. Thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you tonight. I praise you tonight for those that are in this house. Those, Lord, that are here by divine purpose. Those that are here, Lord, by your call. They've been designed by your divine hand. They are in heaven's timeline. An Esther generation for such a time as this. Lord, I believe tonight there are messages. There are miracles. There are mandates upon the lives of these young people. And Lord, I pray you would challenge our hearts at the start of this camp. Lord, we're believing you. Father, let us realize we are the one. We can turn this camp on its head. We can get in these altars and we can let God have his way. I will be the one. I'll be the one. He'll say, Lord, would you let it start with me? Come on. Hands raised if you'd say, I'm it. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be willing. I'm going to make up my mind right here, first night of camp. Here I am. I'm going to be willing. I'm going to be willing, Lord, to be the one. Tonight, young person, here we are in this house. And I'm going to say we might as well swing for the fences tonight, here on night one. Why don't we tonight, as we come to these altars, we lift our hands to heaven and say, Lord, here I am. You've made me. I believe you put a message in me. I believe there's the miraculous in me. I want to answer the mandate of heaven. I want to be used for your glory. I want to be the one, oh, who will obey your word, who will see your miracles come to pass. If that's you, young person, come on, let's step out from where we are right now. Let's get in around this front. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Oh, tonight, can we consecrate ourselves? Can we surrender ourselves? Can we say, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am to yield myself to you. Here I am, Lord, if you will take me and if you will use me for your glory. Lord, I realize you've called me. You've purposed, Lord, you've separated me for such a time as this. Lord, would you use me? Lord, tonight, can I make up my mind and say, Lord, here I am to give myself away. Here I am, Lord.
I give myself.
Oh, would you move?
So
God, would you take me? Would you make something with
me? I give myself.
Would you make something of me?
Away, so you can use me, Lord. I give myself away. myself away so you can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me, Lord. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hand. Oh, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. Oh, I give myself away. Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. Lord, I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Oh, my life is not my own. Oh, to you I belong. Oh, I give myself, I give myself away. Oh, Lord, my life is not my own. Oh, to you I belong. Oh, I give myself, myself away. Oh, my life is not my own. Oh, to you I belong. Lord, I give myself, I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Oh, I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. So you can use me, Lord. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Oh, my life is not my own. Oh, to you I belong. Oh, Lord, I give myself, myself away. Oh, Lord, my life is not my own. Oh, to you I belong. Oh, Lord, I give myself, I give myself away. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. yourself away so you can use me.
I give myself away.
I surrender now to you. I surrender.